Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, ciao, bonjour, namaste, jumbo. Bienvenidos. Hey, my name is Jed Lee. Welcome to Reading with Your Kids. We are beaming out to you into every corner of the globe from the book-loving neighborhood of Reedville, the loveliest neighborhood in all of Boston. When I say we're beaming out to the entire planet, we mean it. Reading with Your Kids has been downloaded to every continent on the globe, including Antarctica. In every episode, we travel the globe through the power of books, meeting wonderful authors and discovering stories that bring people together, no matter where they live. So fasten your imagination seatbelt, open your heart, and get ready to explore another fantastic world of reading and family fun. You can help us grow our mission by telling all of your family and friends about the show and letting them know that they can hear us on the WREB AM/FM 24/7 radio network. And they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Podcasts, Addict, CastBox, Audible, Amazon Music, Player FM, YouTube. Wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading with Your Kids. Really wonderful show for you today. First up, McKenna Song is here to celebrate her new YA title. It's called Among the Fallen. And later in the show, Lee Miao joins us to celebrate her middle grade novel, Take a Shot, Kip. Hey, this episode of Reading with Your Kids is brought to you by AspireDrinks.com. Hey, I have a quick question for you. Have you ever wanted a little extra energy, but not the kind that makes your heart race or leaves you crashing an hour later? Well, that's exactly why I want to tell you about Aspire Drinks. You'll find them at AspireDrinks.com. Aspire calls itself a healthy energy drink, and honestly, that description really fits. Instead of loading you up with sugar or extreme caffeine, Aspire delivers a gentle, steady boost with 80 milligrams of natural caffeine from green tea and guarana. That's about half the caffeine of most energy drinks, enough to help you stay focused without the jitters or the crash. It's also zero sugar, zero calories, and zero artificial additives, which makes it a great choice for parents, teachers, and anyone trying to make healthier choices while still getting things done. And get this, it actually tastes great. Light, crisp, and lightly sparkling with flavors like sweet cherry, raspberry acai, mango lemonade. That's what I love. No heavy aftertaste and easy on the stomach. Aspire is packed with B and C vitamins, biotin, and ginger. And it's vegan, gluten-free, keto-friendly, really designed for real life. And just for Reading with Your Kids listeners, you can get an exclusive discount of 20% off. That's the highest discount available when you shop at AspireDrinks.com and use our promo code READ. That's READ at AspireDrinks.com. Healthy energy done right. We are going to have a great time. Our guest is coming to us from the Central Florida area, the land of the rat, the theme parks. And she's here to celebrate her new YA title. It's called Among the Fallen. Please welcome to the show, McKenna Song. Hey, McKenna, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Delighted to have you on. The first thing I saw when McKenna came on the Zoom screen is that she's wearing a delightful set of pink headphones with little cat ears. I'm assuming that's part of the headphones and not her. But just very, very cute.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm a gamer as well as a writer, so I always got to have a pink aesthetic going.
Now, do you have a favorite game?
I've played a lot of Overwatch over the years.
Okay.
And currently I'm playing a new game called Where Winds Meet.
All right. And how are you? I'm not in the gaming world at all. I kind of grew up on Pong, so
you're
that's
good
about my speed.
I would say I'm very competitive, but I'm not the most competitive in terms of ranking. So.
Okay. All right. Well, after we finish this, I'm going to tell you a little bit about gaming, but in the meantime, why don't you tell us a little bit about Among the Fallen? Is this a part of a duology?
So it's actually part of a trilogy,
okay.
But I did publish the first two books on the same day.
Oh.
And so the third book is a work in progress.
Excellent. Excellent. So it's Among the Fallen. And what's the twin's name?
Among the Risen.
Among the Fallen. So we need to read Among the Fallen first.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So who are we going to meet in Among the Fallen?
So you're going to, it is written in third person limited. So you're going to be following the journey of Lucien Roux. He is a 14-year-old boy who lives in a really isolated village in the middle of a monster-infested forest. Very magical.
Uh-huh.
And it's just following his life and his adventure out of the village.
Okay, so I didn't graduate with a fine arts degree or any of that stuff. I'm just a dumb guy who loved reading with his kids, and that's why I started reading with your kids 8 years ago. I'm kind of feeling my first person, third person perspective. Tell me about that. I should just pretend like I know and tell
no,
me.
No, no, you're good.
But I'm honest here.
You're good. I love the honesty. And to be honest, I didn't understand until I really went into the weeds with it. You know, as a writer who started on Wattpad and then, you know, really wanted to go out to publish, one of those things were perspectives. What are perspectives? How do you make sure that you're not head hopping? How do you make sure you're not being omniscient when you should be limited? But essentially, limited third person means that it is usually using obviously it's he, him pronouns because he's a guy. So, and then you're going through his thoughts alone. So you can't go into someone else's thoughts. So Lucien has a younger sister named Rosalie. So you wouldn't necessarily know how she's feeling or what she's thinking in the same scene. It's all seen through his perspective, but it's just not using I, you know, like I, me, my.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I learned something every time I do this show. I love it. I love it. Tell me, was that difficult for you to write in from this perspective?
For a third person or from a male perspective?
Either.
So third person came a lot more naturally to me. I started writing when I was close to 12 or 13. So for me, it was more of a way to imagine a character outside of myself. So it was a lot more natural for me to pick up from someone else's point of view than to kind of self-insert myself in a way, because that's kind of how you start when you start writing. You're kind of like, do I really want to go down the route of putting myself into the character in a very much direct way, or do I want to go more indirect? And so I feel like third person is a little bit more indirect and helps me to explore and create something outside of myself. In terms of writing Lucien, I don't know. I've been asked this question in the past before, and I kind of still stand by it, is that I see, whether you're a guy or a girl, you're human. And so all humans have emotions. They go through different fears, different, just emotions that they have. And so you can go really complex with it, but I didn't feel limited as a woman writing from a man's perspective. Obviously, I hope that male readers will be able to connect with him, because that was part of the purpose for both genders to be able to, really speak into that. But I just thought, what are his flaws? What are his interests? Where does he want to go? What kind of adventure does he want to go on? I do think a lot more of his journey is external, but there are internal struggles that he deals with as well. Whereas I'm writing a book now from a female perspective, which is my next series, which is a lot more internal versus external. So it's just balancing. Yeah.
Was it scary to put yourself into the mind of a 14-year-old boy?
a little bit. I think at the time, so I started writing when I was actually 16. So I was closer to the age that I was portraying. I didn't really use any real life, examples. I am a very, very avid anime lover, obsessed with it. So a lot of my stuff, ideas of characters comes from Naruto and, a lot of popular series, in animation. So I kind of, grabbed comedic bits from there, thought up personalities, all that kind of stuff.
So you wrote this. I was going to make a joke earlier when you said, I started writing when I was 13, and I was going to say, last week. But you started writing Among the Fallen when you were 16?
Yes.
Wow. And so you told me before we started, you're in your 20s now. So you've been working on this for a while.
Yes. So I started when I was 16, did a few full rewrites, and then I did the version that you kind of see now was really done when I turned 18. And from there, it went through a whole writing process. And by the time I was 22, I finished with the first kind of draft. And then from there, I went into editing, and then I finally published the two books last year now, because it's 2026. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
But and another fact which is interesting is, so Among the Fallen and Among the Risen were originally just one book, but I decided, you know, for readability's sake, for the sake of, you know, a younger audience, I wanted to split it up to make it more accessible.
Okay. So this magical dragon-filled forest, tell us a little bit more about that place.
So his village is called Calum. It's a very isolated area inside of the Sage's Forest, which is very much infested with mystical creatures. And his village is protected internally by a barrier. And so his whole life, he's only known this village. He doesn't know about, you know, any other place in the world, because the village is very much like a strict hierarchical kind of cult-like environment. And so there is a, you know, a religion instilled into that village. And so he, you know, everything is being monitored. And so it's about him trying to figure out, you know, these labels that he's been put on him since he was born, and being like, you know, am I going to, you know, is this my fate?
Mm-hmm. Boy, there was a lot going on in your 16-year-old mind, huh?
Yes, there was, for sure. A lot brewing in my head, and, you know, a lot of ideas that I thought, you know, came from heaven. So I just was writing it.
Well, that's where the best ideas come from heaven.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, as you're describing the forest, I'm reminded, my beautiful wife and I took a trip to Ireland and Scotland last year. And while we're in Ireland, I think it was in Killarney, we went on this very early morning, I think it was like 7:30 in the morning, carriage ride through, they called it a forest. It wasn't a forest in the sense of what we think of here in the Northeast, but, you know, there's a lot more, it was a lot more open. But it was a misty, kind of rainy morning, foggy. And as we're going through, I'm like, yeah, I can see how people living way back when could be creeped out and think that there was a creature behind every tree and every rock.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's where all the best kind of, you know, pieces of your imagination come to life. Like, things are like, shadows aren't just shadows, you know, those forms in the distance, like, you know, our minds try to figure out what that is. And it, you know, comes to legends, rumors, mythology, like all of those things. And so those really inspired my series as well.
Yeah. So was that something, were you someone who just read all those myths and fables in horror when you were a kid?
Maybe not so much the horror, but I definitely fused a ton of things that I learned when I was in school, as well as things that I just were naturally interested in. So my books are unique in that they're kind of just a mix mash of a bunch of things that my 16-year-old brain was kind of, you know, getting downloaded. So I remember being in my world history class and learning a lot about Hinduism and reincarnation. And so there was a mix of that in there. There was a mix of, obviously, Christian, because, you know, I'm Christian. So a lot of biblical symbolism as well, with good versus evil, you know, the heavenly realm, the earthly realm, the fallen realm, and then Greek and Roman mythology. And so it all kind of just, you know, combined in. And anime, of course.
Now, and when you're in that that world history class, and you heard these things from the Hindu religion, was there a moment in time when you were at your desk listening and just had an idea and go, oh, man, that's going in the story? And everybody looked at you going, dude, what's up?
I wasn't the type to outburst. I mean, I am a lot more now, just because I'm comfortable where I work. But, you know, when I was in class, I kind of was thinking, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And what what gripped me the most was actually the reality of what they called the untouchables. So these people in the religion that were seen as undesirables, they were seen as kind of the filth, you know, and, you know, I didn't deep dive into the religion. So there might be things that I'm a little bit more inaccurate of. I was 16, sure. But just the idea of there was this, these misfits in society that were not treated as humans. And right. I felt very empathetic toward them because in my heart, I was like, why are these people being treated like this? And so for me, I naturally included them into my novel as the fallen ones in the fallen district, you know, a group of people who were mislabeled by a religion for something that they either did or did not do based on the head of the village, the Var. And so this idea that like a group of people just by one label can their entire life can look differently based on that. And so I wanted to show it in a way that wasn't offensive, but was very, how do I say it, cutting, like where as humans, we have to realize that the labels that we put on others, especially from a young age, matter. If you're told that you're a failure, if you're told that you are stupid or that you are useless or you are unlovable, if you're told that, you know, you don't fit in, those things really grip into your soul in ways that you don't know until you're trying to fix it in therapy when you're in your 20s, 30s,
right.
Long term. So, yeah.
Tell me your perspective on the book and the story. How did that, because you obviously, you, between the ages of 16 and your mid-20s, we change a lot, we grow a lot, we mature. Well, some of us do. I don't know if I did. But how did that affect as you were rewriting it? Did the story change significantly as you grew?
Yeah. So one of the biggest blessings of writing, you know, the two books during that period of transition was the fact that like I pantsed through the whole manuscript. So I didn't plan. I just sat down and whatever came to me that day, it came to me and it was on the page. Uh-huh. And then in editing, I had to smooth out some stuff. But because I took such big breaks, when I picked back up, it was like different sections feel differently, not just like the writing style, but the emotions behind it, the lessons that I was learning. So as you are going through Lucien's story and he's like getting older, I was getting older at that same time. So the complexity of the story continues to deepen through the second book a lot more because that's when I'm a little older by that point. But it really does transform of like what I, like my personal testimony, testimonies that I've heard from people in my family, people, my friends, and seeing kind of like, you know, how do we grow? You know, if we've had trauma, if we've had, like, we're bullied, like, if we, like, didn't know our identity, our purpose in life, like, how that evolves throughout your youth and into your early 20s, because a lot of people, honestly, some never find out that. And that's, and it's really sad because it's kind of like, you can, in a book, you can see where that roots from because it's so easy to point at the abusive father. It's so easy to point at, you know, the village kids bullying Lucien or the evil, you know, entity trying to like snuff him out. Like it's, but in our lives, we explain it away by either blaming ourselves or not looking at those people and being like, you know, I need to move forward. And so my book transitions from being like, okay, these are the circumstances of my past and my character's past. And this is the forgiveness that comes at the end of betrayal, at the end of, you know, hurt and seeing that there is healing there. And so that's kind of why it was really important to me to show like Among the Fallen is kind of my earlier years with and Lucien's early years. And then Among the Risen is how do you rise up from that? How do you decide to be your own person and not be passive and be more active about like who you choose to be, who you choose to be friends with and, you know, navigating that. So it's in a fun fantasy world. It's like super fun adventure, but it also really digs deep into the human soul of like, why am I here? What was I made to do? You know, who are people that are not just here to benefit me, but I'm here to bless them along the way. So
You know, one of the things we love to ask authors here on the show is what kind of conversations do you think families can have as they're reading, maybe rolled up on the, curled up on the couch with a picture book, or co-reading and talking about on the way to school over the dinner table. It sounds like there's a lot in The Fallen and also in Among the Risen that families can talk about. What are some of the things you think would make for great conversation?
I think the biggest thing, and it depends really on what age they are. Obviously, mine is targeted for young adults, so anywhere from like 12 to 18. But I've had, you know, family members who are younger read it. I've had people who are in their 40s read it, who are, you know, processing hurt and healing. And so I would just say that for the kids, you know, if you're co-reading or they're right next to you and they're a little older, just having open conversations. Because even if, you know, there's not been internalized hurt from, you know, your family, you might have a friend at school who does. And so it's this idea of growing empathy, because empathy is something that is learned, it's taught. And so through books, even, you know, that's how I learned how to empathize, was through the stories of other people in real life and in fiction. So that, and just being like, when someone hurts you, when someone says something to you that's not nice, like especially for the little kids, you want to be like, are you going to allow that to root in you? Are you going to allow to believe that about yourself? Or are you going to say what they said was hurtful, but I am me, and that, you know, I have to be confident in who I am, you know, and, you know, especially, you know, because these parents are looking out for the best for their kids as they're reading, it's an amazing conversation starter.
Yeah.
You know, my little niece, like, she was like, it's so funny. Why is he so hurt? And that conversation, that just really cute little question of like, you know, from a, you know, a little 6-year-old, like, that's important. You know, we should never stop talking and asking questions, because you don't know who you save through that. And you don't know, like these books, I hope, really just nurture them in that way of being curious, of wanting to know more about other people. Because what happens in life is when you get hurt, you start to shut down. And you can hold a lot of pain in yourself. And the other thing too is like for kind of the older kids is like, you know, or the even the young adults, of being like, you've gone through life now a little bit of life, not all of life, but just giving them hope. Because a lot of times the cards you're dealt, especially if you've gone through an abusive, neglectful, or, you know, situation, or even at school, or in some other facets of life, of just being like, there's so much more to your life farther down the line than you can see. And there are so many people working for your good that you don't know yet. And so just having that and seeing like, you can only see like a little bit in your future, even just like, you know, your surroundings, but there's so much more. So I just hope it, you know, blesses them in a way where they can find healing and forgiveness at the end of the day, because forgiveness sets you free.
Yeah. McKenna, you know, when we first met here, we had a delightful conversation, and I'm thinking, wow, this young person, she's so bubbly and she's fun, and this is going to be a fun conversation. But you have a lot of wisdom for someone your age. And where did that come from? How did you come upon all this wisdom?
I think it was a mix of things. I personally went through, you know, bullying when I was young. I went through some family stuff that, you know, really deeply impacted how I viewed myself. And it wasn't until like, and I went, you know, college is college. So probably the lowest point in my entire life. And so, but you don't really realize aspects of yourself until you hit like a rock bottom. And people's rock bottoms are different. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically. And so for me, it was kind of at that point where I had to decide, you know, am I going to, you know, stay oppressed in this spot, or am I going to choose to move forward? And I definitely give a lot of, you know, thanks to my parents. You know, I don't feel like my conversations were ever shut down. They were always open to guiding me in that way. So I was very blessed. You know, a lot of prayers were poured into me from my grandparents who are now in heaven. So a lot of those blessings came through. And I would just say the Holy Spirit, you know, I give everything to God. Like it, my relationship with him became super real in the last year and a half. I started working for a Christian publishing firm, and through books, I was blessed that way. And so the wisdom that I gained through those books, as I'm editing, as I'm reading, I'm able to pour out to other people. And so when I get down to speaking with someone one-to-one, or, you know, if people have questions, I just feel that kind of, you know, flow of just like, how can I show that, like, you know, Jesus loves you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just through my words, through my action, and I'm praying that even though I'm not like thumping a Bible on people and saying, you know, I want people to see that no matter what, you, there's a future for you.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been in that spot. I've been in that place. And that for me happened a lot earlier than some people. Some people go through it in their 30s, 40s, 50s. But I just happened to go through that kind of come to Jesus moment in my 20s. So.
Well, I'm certainly glad you did. And I'm certainly glad that you came out and you are the person that you are. Somebody might be listening to the show and thinking to themselves, wow, you know, I really like McKenna. I love this idea of a story, but man, she's a Christian and it's pretty obvious. I don't want to read a Christian book. I mean, I'm not, what would you say to that person?
I would say that you have to test it for yourself. I mean, you really, there are so many things that you're told about things, but until you research yourself, for yourself and really dig into something, you don't know. Like, I mean, we base a lot of our life based on like on stereotypes of other people. But when you really sit down and get to talk to someone, you realize, oh, those preconceptions or misconceptions that I had about them based on this label were completely wrong. And so a lot of times, you know, the word Christian, because our nation has really diluted it a lot, it just comes down to, you know, if I could just wear a sticker that says, I love Jesus and Jesus loves you, you know, I love when people say like, I'm a follower of the way, you know, because at the end of the day for me, it's a relationship with God. So it's not, you know, it was a beautiful verse that I just read today, but it was how, you know, Jesus came not to condemn people on the earth. He came to save them. Mm-hmm. And so as a Christian, I'm not here to condemn people. I'm here to love them, just to, you know, share truth with them if they ask, you know, try to reach people through what I do. But if you read my book, you'll see that there is no, you know, judgment there. There's no, you know, like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just not what people imagine.
Right.
And, you know, so I think the biggest testimony is just, you know, are you showing your love through actions?
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that every day. So
there you go. There you go. I love it. And that's one of the reasons I'm very happily a Christian, a Catholic. It's I'm not here to condemn anybody, because Lord knows I have done enough stupid stuff in my life that I could be condemned all day long. And
amen. 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 Hallelujah. That's the thing, is we are all sinners, and even people who've been saved still sin. So, you know, there's, you know, I'm not going to be picking out the speck in your eye when I have a log in my own. I just have to deal with the log.
Yep. Yep. That's enough work for me, God. Thank you very much. I'll let you take care of that. You do the heavy lifting. I'm over here. Tell me, so book one and two are out. Does Lucy, what? Is it a spoiler if we ask if Lucian's in book two?
No, it's not a spoiler. Yes, he's
okay,
in
okay.
book two.
And what about book three? We haven't you haven't mentioned the title of book three yet.
Yeah, so book three is it's Among the Hidden.
Among the Hidden. All right. And how far along are we? Because I want you back on the show. I just want to get that
That's
out.
That's awesome.
There. So are we talking a year? Are we talking, it took you 6 or 7 years to write Among the Fallen. Do I have to wait until I'm 107 to have you back on?
No. So 107 is wild, first of all. You look very great for your age.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
So actually, I've started, because I felt this pressing in my spirit, I actually started on book one of my next series, and I'm going to write Among the Hidden after this next book is done. So my next book is called A Memory to Mourn, and I'm halfway through the manuscript. I did it halfway in 1 year, so I'm hoping that this year we'll finish it up, so you won't have to wait more than maybe a year and a half to 2 years.
I should be on. I might not have much hair left by that time, but you definitely have an open invitation. Until then, let's tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Among the Fallen and Among the Risen.
Sounds good. So all of my social handles and my website are actually my name, .com. So McKennaSong.com or at McKennaSong. I'm on Facebook, Threads, Instagram, and TikTok, but and LinkedIn. So you can connect with me on any of those. And the spelling of that is McKennaSong.com. So
we've had a really fun time speaking to the author of Among the Fallen. Our guest has been McKenna Song. Hey, McKenna, thanks so much for being on Reading with Your Kids.
Thank you so much for having me.
This episode of Reading with Your Kids is sponsored by Ramble Office. You know, before I tell you about Ramble Office, let me tell you about what travel used to look like for me. When I take the Reading with Your Kids studio on the road, it was like a lot. I had one box for the mixer, another case for microphones, a satchel for my laptop, cables everywhere. And I always felt like I was forgetting something. That's why Ramble Office really clicked with me. Ramble takes everything I used to juggle, tech, gear, personal stuff, and puts it into one smart, great-looking unit that's designed to be a mobile office, not just luggage. Everything has a place. Everything stays protected. And when you get to where you're going, you're ready to work. Instead of digging through bags or repacking your life every time you move, Ramble keeps your setup organized and ready to deploy. Travel days stop being chaos and start being productive. It's sleek, modern, built for people whose work doesn't stop just because they're on the move. And if your job follows you, whether that's podcasting, teaching, consulting, or creating, Ramble is worth a look. Go to RambleOfficeAnywhere.com, all one word, RambleOfficeAnywhere.com. Use the promo code READ, R-E-A-D, and receive 5% off any product. It's exclusive for Reading with Your Kids listeners. Check it out today, RambleOfficeAnywhere.com, promo code READ. Join us right now from the wonderful state of Pennsylvania that our guest says is the best state in the country. She's here to celebrate her new middle grade novel. It's called Take a Shot, Kip. Please welcome to the show, Lee Miao. Lee, how are you?
Fine. Thanks so much, Jed, for having me, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Is it cold down in the Philly area as it is here in Boston?
Yeah, it is. And it's heading up toward the 30s, which is just feels wonderful after weeks of the low teens.
I was just talking to somebody about that. It's when the winter season comes, it hits 30 and it's like you think you're in a refrigerator. Then it gets colder. So the next time it gets to 32, you're like, oh, let me take off my sweatshirt. Happy. I don't need this. I can walk out my T-shirt here.
I agree. So happy it's in the 30s. Very happy.
You know, so Take a Shot, Kip reminds me a lot. I coached soccer and a very competitive team, a very competitive high school team back before I met my beautiful wife. And that phrase, take a shot, dude, take it. That it rings true in my mind.
It's sort of the double meaning. This 11-year-old boy is a lacrosse, what we call a lacrosse rat, someone who lives, breathes, dreams, sleeps lacrosse. And even though the book is about him trying out for an elite team or elite league, it's actually about his family and friends. He's got a lot of hang-ups about being the smallest applicant because of a birthday cutoff. Mm. He also has to wear glasses for the first time, which is the kiss of death, actually, to an 11-year-old who's a sports fiend. His sports mother and sister are off to Beijing for something, and he's stuck with his sports nerd dad, who knows nothing about sports. And he doesn't. And at that age, maybe up until that time, he was closer to his mom, and his sister. And, you know, the dad is there. He reads to him at night, et cetera, but he doesn't really know his dad. So in this several week period, he not only gets to know his dad, but he's has the support of his best friends and dog who help him try out for the league. And they go through lots of conflict. The antagonist is a person who's somewhat of a bully. It's a hotshot opponent. They're trying out for the same attack, which is the primary offensive position in lacrosse. Mm-hmm. And so he goes through lots of ups and downs, but ultimately it all comes together, even though at some point, you know, he's, you know, you have that period before a happy ending where his dog's paw gets, you know, injured. You know, everything goes wrong. And I think it's a satisfying ending. And there's lots of readers have mentioned that it's very humorous and it does focus on family and friends. So I did write, I don't know if this is appropriate time to say, two other books.
Sure, we can.
Somewhat related. And so actually, this is his sister. That's the first book was They Go to Hong Kong for a Week. So he is the secondary character I keep mentioning in the first book. And readers had said they really liked him. So that's why I wrote a book just about him.
Yeah. And that book is called
Way to Go. Mother's surname they use as it's her middle name, like Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Right.
Delano is his mom's last name. So again, it's a challenge forcing her to decide whether she can help out her dad, whose company's being taken over by a Hong Kong conglomerate. So
wow.
And then with the take a shot tip, it's also about, you know, can he actually do what he wants to do, not just taking a physical shot.
That's something I think a lot of kids grow through. There's, you know, they have their dreams and
yes.
And what I don't know about you, Lee, but I think we're getting to the point where we're putting an awful lot of pressure on kids to make a decision really early. I know I mentioned that I was a soccer coach. I know kids in playing lacrosse, kids playing hockey, kids taking dance. They have parents are making an investment, an investment of a lot of money for the kids to participate in these sports. And as a result, I think parents are like, well, you got to specialize. You got to become the best. And you're going to, you know, at 10 years old, 9 years old, you're talking to kids about getting a scholarship to go to college. And these are really unrealistic expectations. And I think puts way too much pressure on kids.
I totally agree. In fact, the opponent in the book fits that characterization where the dad thinks that being on this, you know, an elite middle school team is going to be a stepping stone or a feeder for an elite high school travel team, you know, and getting on the high school lacrosse, a varsity team, or maybe getting a scholarship in college. I have the opponent's dad also having played college sports. Mm-hmm. But Kip himself is not from a family that puts a premium on sports. He loves sports, but his dad seems to be clueless, although there is a twist in the tale later on. And I guess his mom is more interested in making sure that he doesn't get hurt. So this is not he's not raised in a family where, let's say, sports all the way.
Good. That seems like a healthier way to grow up.
Oh, yeah. And surprisingly, he, you know, turns out to be pretty good. So which is often the case, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm curious what inspired that, because you seem to be very knowledgeable about lacrosse and how kids are going, what kids in that position are going through. Was this research or is it lived experience?
It's lived experience. I had a child who played, and then, of course, I knew all his friends who played. But my kids grew up in a community that valued sports, you know, college sports, everything. And so the community had a very active rec and ed where every season they would send out just a registration form to all the kids in the school. You know, you didn't have to register. I mean, any kids who was in school, and they signed up for basketball in the winter. I want to say baseball and lacrosse in the spring, swimming or soccer in the fall. And so I saw that, you know, I was at carpool. Uh-huh. Who had to drive everybody at the end of the workday. And so I watched a lot of games, whether it was basketball or baseball or lacrosse. And so whether you like it or not, if you're there, you pick up the sport.
Sure.
Originally, you mentioned that you coach soccer, but when I first watched it, I had no idea there was offense and defense. I just saw little kids in kindergarten running back and forth across the field. Right.
Well, at that level, that's all it is, a bunch of bees chasing a ball.
Right. So I learned to, and then I became one of these parents who was asked to keep score, whether it was baseball or lacrosse. If you're there at every game, every parent is asked to do something. So that's another way I learned a lot about the sport.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a lot of my son played Pop Warner football.
Which
was very surprising, because I remember my beautiful wife and I, when we talked, when we first had our kid, we said no hockey, no football, but you know, but my son just wasn't finding anything he loved. My daughter was into dance and she loved it. And, one day my wife saw something in the newspaper and said to my son, "You want to play football?" He said, "Yes, I do." So we went down and I said to him going in, I said, "Now, son, if you make the commitment, you got to live it out. You can quit at the end of the season. You don't have to do it for the rest of your life. But if you say you want to do it and you sign up, you have to stick it out through the whole season." And he said, "Absolutely." So we paid the money, and the coach said, "Go down the hall, get your equipment." And he went down the hall. I went with him, and they're handing him his shoulder pads and his helmet. And he looked at me and goes, "Why are they giving me all of this?" And
okay. I said,
"You're playing tackle football, Chris." And, and he goes, "What?" I said, "But too late. You made the commitment. We signed the check. Can't get it back."
Well, that speaking of, go ahead.
No, and it was a great experience. He had a great time. He didn't get injured. But we, like you, we got all into it. I was, I held up the first down marker, and my daughter was we called her the hydration specialist. She was the water girl, and she went out, had a great time. And to this day, my son's best friends are kids that he made playing football.
No, absolutely. And speaking of commitment, the story starts out with Kip and his sister, who are at the YMCA for some reason, because I benefited from a YMCA. Mm-hmm. I have YMCA in every book, they're taking lessons out. There was only one class that he could take lessons while his sister was there, because she got into a junior internship program. His mom, you know, like working moms want their kids at the same place, you know, so they don't have to go and carpool so many locations. So because she got in late, they had to find a class for him at the Y. He got into the one class. They said, "Well, it's a sports class." Well, it wasn't. It was gymnastics. Okay, beginning gymnastics, that's fine. But it was all girls. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, he hates it. And then his sister is off to Beijing. But his mom said, "Well, it's a commitment. you have to stick with the course, you know." And anyhow, dad will use that time in the morning to go to the office. All right. So, you know, you can't be home. I mean, you're 11 and, you know, you could stay home, but why not just finish the class? And so in the midst of trying out for lacrosse practice, he actually has to go through this beginner gymnastics and endure the, not the condescension, but the pitying looks of everybody in the class. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they give him a low balance beam, which is basically 1 inch off the floor.
Right.
And he says, well, I'm an athlete, I can do this. And of course he falls off.
Uh-huh.
And then of course there's that recital at the end. So lots of things going on.
Yeah, I love it. What is it about writing for middle grade kids that you love so much?
Well, I myself, and everybody will snicker and like roll their eyes, is loved middle grade. And like, who likes middle grade? It's the time when sometimes you know, there's bullying and there's a lot of angst, but those were my best years. I had best friends. Actually, back then it was junior high school, and those are my best friends. We did a lot of crazy, zany things, and yet we stayed together. I mean, I went on to different places on both coasts. I worked in the financial area before I started writing. But I still stay in touch with my hometown friends from middle school, actually from sixth grade on. And so one of the things that I remember clearly were those years, and I wanted to capture those years through, you know, today's contemporary kids.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Do your kids love the fact that they, while they're not characters in the books, that they're the inspiration or their stories are the inspiration?
Yes, I try to make it more of a composite of characters, not necessarily focusing on, you know, one child's features as much. So I would throw in things that I remembered about their friends as well as my friends. You know, they're cool with it. They're not really too interested in what I write. So, but those are kids, so they're much older now. So
yeah.
Thank you for asking.
Oh no, I find it fascinating. I'm curious, what kind of conversations do you think, because we really encourage families to continue to read together with their kids as they're in middle grades, as they're in high school. And it's, you know, not everybody can sit down and read aloud a middle grade novel, but you can certainly read a book together, co-read, and then have those conversations on the way to lacrosse or on the way to gymnastics.
Absolutely.
So what kind of conversations do you think families can have as they're co-reading Take a Shot, Kip?
I think one of the pervasive themes is, and again, I want to say this with a caveat that middle grade authors are told over and over that you cannot have a preachy book, you cannot talk about a lesson learned, etc. However, outside the book itself, if you're reading with a family, you can talk about the optimism that a kid has and not trying to clamp that down. You could talk about perseverance, trying for a goal, and how to deal with different conflicts that arise. How do you deal with, you know, a bully who makes fun of your Asian American heritage, saying, you know, Asian American kids aren't good in sports. Why are you trying out for lacrosse? How do you respond to that? All mm-hmm. right. You can lean on your friends and not just having those friends help you, but how do you help them? I made sure that I had subplots within the book that had Kip helping his friends.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not only his best friend, Winnie, down the street, who's having soccer burnout big time and trying to get her back into it, but having helping his other friend who's trying to persuade his parents to let him try lacrosse. One other quick thing, I know this is a long answer, is one of the ways that his mom allowed him to try out and pay the registration fee. This is not an elite family that is overly wealthy, mm-hmm. is that the mom had gotten a notice from middle school that kids should sign up for a position in middle school orchestra. And so she wanted him to take a starter violin lessons, three lessons. So in the midst of all this, he's starting up violin lessons. And then it's like, what do you do when you have a goal and your parents or life just throws everything at you? And how are you dealing with all that? Mm-hmm. You know, each kid has to figure that out.
Yeah. Boy, you know, any kid who is making fun of a kid and saying, oh, Asian kids, Asians, you're no good at sports. They haven't been watching Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, exactly. Right. You know, there are some sports that, this is kind of weird, but I do, in a weird way, I follow NFL football.
Uh-huh.
And there are some different peoples represented in many different sports. So you may find Asian Americans or Asians in baseball, but you find very few of them in football.
Mm.
All right. So these are little things that you notice as you watch games or basketball. So
yeah.
Of course there was that Jeremy Lin.
Yeah. Tell me, you mentioned before, and I mentioned in the introduction that you love Pennsylvania. You think it's one of the best places in the world. How about it? Why do you think Pennsylvania is so great?
I guess this goes back to your question on why do I write middle grade novels. I think I had really great friends, a supportive family when I was growing up in a small town. And although I'm in an urban setting now, and I love it, I think that growing up in a small town is just the best. I had, number one, a terrific library. And I used to, you know, go there all the time, not only take out books, but then in high school, you know, you start doing research. Mm-hmm. There's a fantastic bookstore there, which I actually didn't know about growing up, but is there now and supportive in the community. I had great teachers. All right. I had good friends. We didn't have social media back then. Mm-hmm. So you really got to know your friends. You really had conversations about what was right. And of course we made lots of mistakes.
Sure.
So these small town experiences actually can be in any state. It just happened that, this was in Pennsylvania. So. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting? Now you mentioned you grew up, you didn't have social media, so you got to know your friends. These days, kids don't have any privacy, and it seems like they're sharing their whole life, but we're not really getting to know anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, you're absolutely right, and it kills me.
Yeah. I believe at the start of our conversation, you held up, along with Kip, Take a Shot, Kip, mm-hmm. you held up two other books, and we talked right. about Way to Go. What's your third book?
The third book was actually in the middle called It's a Rap Cat. Cat, short for Katarina, is Ellie's best friend. They're all kind of related. And what she does is she goes to a special exhibit in the San Francisco area and sees a painting called Lady with a Unicorn by the Italian master Raphael. And when she sees it, she's stunned because she is a spitting image. Lady with the Unicorn, which is in real life a mystery that's never been unsolved mystery. All right. So when she comes home, she's trying to understand what is going on through a school project. She does have an opportunity to go to Rome for a week, and her mom's older relatives are there, and she pieces the history by doing research and figuring out that there was a connection in her family about the person who actually was represented in A Lady with the Unicorn. So that painting actually is at the Borghese Gallery in Rome. And I had visited that. That's what alerted me. I was thinking, why is there this crowd of people around this picture? Not like the one in the Louvre, obviously, uh-huh. but a big enough crowd, and that got me thinking.
Oh, great. We should tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Take a Shot, Kip, and all the great books coming from your imagination.
Thank you. Take a Shot, Kip is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Bookshop, as are the other books.
Mm-hmm.
There's more information about them on my website, which is just my full name, Lee Y. Meow. Dot writer at dot at leeymail.com. Yeah, I think that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. The traditional online booksellers.
Sure. Yeah, great. We've had a great time speaking to the author of Take a Shot, Kip. It is the new middle grade novel from our guest, Lee Miao. Hey, Lee, thanks so much for being on Reading with Your Kids.
Okay, thanks so much, Judd. Have a great day.
Hey, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of Reading with Your Kids and will join us for the next exciting episode of the show. This episode made you smile or gave you something to think about. Please share the link to the show with someone you love. Leave a 5-star review and also please be sure to subscribe to the show. We don't want you to miss a moment. Want to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful, starting with our guest, McKenna Song. Please be sure to check out Among the Fallen. Also want to thank Lee Miao. Please be sure to check out Take a Shot, Kip. Want to thank my team, Chris Daugherty, Jackson Saltalero, Joanne Lynn. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. Most of all, we all want to thank you. Thank you so very much for taking the time to join us today. And as always, thank you so very much for taking the time to make the world a better, more caring, more empathetic place. And you do that every single time you read with your kids. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading with Your Kids.